Morning, church. Morning, SP. Morning to those who are listening online. Praise God. So let's read our text today in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. And we will read later the Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 to 14. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. This is a feast of the Lord, holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Truly, your word is so precious. Your word is precious than silver and gold. Your word is life. Your word is light. And your word, O God, is our guidance, our strength. And Father, we pray today, God, let the Holy Spirit give us understanding, O Lord God, of your holy word, that we may be able to receive in accordance to the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for these studies and devotion that we have today. So lead us in all your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we saw in our overview introduction last Saturday, as we finished the overview, that God gave any specific events for the Israelites to observe and to rehearse year after year. And this is the seventh feast that God are giving unto them. You know, it's instructed for them to keep, and this is to be observed in exact appointed times, and it is a lasting ordinance that God is giving unto them. Now, this feast is so amazing that it is clearly portrays what is the event that the Lord Jesus Christ are going to do in the future. This is the feast of Passover. This is the feast of unleavened bread. This is the feast of first fruits. This is the feast of weeks, or the feast of Pentecost. This is the feast of the trumpets, feast of atonement, and feast of tabernacles. There are seven feasts that we see during the overview. And it is so amazing that this all portrays surrounding to the death, the burial, the resurrection, and events surrounding his return. And today we're going to study the first feast, which is the feast of the Passover. It is so interesting that God did not give a feast with regards to his, you know, being born in this world and being, you know, in his ministry throughout this entire life here on earth. But he is giving a specific seven feasts for the Israel, and he said that this is a calendar of events that will take place in the future. So this is a wonderful truth for us to understand, and we're going to examine all these feasts in regards to what is the context in the Bible and what is the significant in the prophetic, messianic significance, and at the same time, what is in our personal significance or our application. First is, he said that it is a lasting ordinance. Before more than 430 years, the people or the Hebrew people are living in Egypt. This is where the first time that they stayed permanently in Egypt, when the time of Joseph. And there's famine in all the people, and the relatives of Joseph and Jacob, his father, and his brothers are live in Egypt. And Joseph was the second hand of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king, top of Egypt, and then he is the second on command. And throughout the 430 years, the changes of Pharaoh and the time came that they don't know the history of Hebrews wherein they stayed in Egypt. And there is this new king living in the time of when Moses was birthed, that they give a decree to kill all the firstborn Hebrews in that time. And God preserved and saved Moses at that time. And we all know understand that he grew and gained a wisdom in the household of Pharaoh of Egypt through the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, time came during that 430 years and the later part of 430 years, Hebrews become the slaves of the Egyptians. And they are crying for what the Egyptians are doing from them. And this is the time when Moses is fully grown up, and then God called him to be, you know, to bring the Hebrew people go back to the promised land that God promised in the time of Abraham. The Exodus means, you know, departure. So we know that if we read that one, that we know and understand that the Pharaoh of Egypt doesn't want, you know, that the Hebrew people will leave Egypt, because they are the one who is doing all the hard labors at that time. They're doing all the structures, even planting, every hard labors the Hebrew people are doing. That's why the Pharaoh doesn't want to leave. And then that's the reason why God brought 10 plagues into the house, into the land of Egypt. Now it is in the 10th plague, and then the 9th plague, the Hebrew people, God did not give anything to do. It is just, you know, Aaron and Moses. And we know that in the 9th plague, still the heart of Pharaoh is hardened and doesn't want to let the Hebrew people to go out in Egypt. But on the 10th plague, this is what God is the final plague that going to give to the people of Egypt, the land of Egypt, so that, you know, Pharaoh will let the Hebrew people go to the promised land as he promised. And only this 10th plague that God requires Israel or the Hebrew people to do something. And this is also the time when he instituted the first feast, which is the feast of Passover. So let's look on now on the Exodus chapter 12. And let's see how God instituted this feast of the Passover, beginning verse 1 to 14. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months." It's so wonderful that it's not coincidence that God, during the institution of feast of the fast Passover, God also made that this will be the first month calendar of the Hebrew people. You know, church, our calendar and the calendar of the Hebrews or the Israelites is different. Our calendar that we are observing now is based on the Gregorian calendar, which started from January. But the calendar of the Hebrew starts from Nisan. They called it Nisan this Nisan is based on the Babylonian names. And another translation, they use the word Abib, which is in the Canaanite names. This Nisan is started between March and April. The first month of Israel, of the Hebrews, is started from between March and April, and they called it Nisan. So it is during the institution of Passover that God made that this is the first month of Israel, which is also during the institution of the feast of the Passover. He said, continue, "It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small to the lamb, let him his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year." It's so specific, the date and the time that that God are giving them the requirements of observing this feast. It said in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish and male of the first year. You take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. The twilight means after the sunset. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. They shall eat the flesh on the right on the night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its with legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist. You know what, church? If you are in the dining table and eating, especially in your house, of course you are wearing a dress that is so relaxing. Right? But here, as we can see, the instruction is you will eat with your belt on the waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands. This signifies that they are preparing for something while they are eating of this lamb that is roasted on the fire. Because he said, so you shall eat it in haste. Meaning you have to eat it quickly. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night, and it will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. This is the 10th plague that God are giving to the land of Egypt. This is the angel of death. We call it all the firstborn, livestock, male, and even a prisoner will going to die when the angel of death came to the land of Egypt. Both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see a blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day be to you, this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. This feast is instituted by the killing of the blood, of killing of the lamb, and putting a blood on the doorpost, so that when the angel of death will pass over every houses, that there is a blood on blood of the lamb of the doorpost. That's why the word Passover came, because of this event happened. It is a Passover of or being spared to death when the angel will see the blood of the lamb in every doorpost. We saw that how detailed God gave an instruction to them. I remember during our early years in the church way back in the Philippines, probably around 20 years now, that God, I said this last Wednesday, that we observe, actually, when we say observe, we are trying to observe it as specific as it was written in Exodus chapter 12 and 14. Lamb in the Philippines is so expensive, so we cannot afford it. We just have to get one goat. It is so hard to look for a yearling that is unblemished. You know, sometimes some goat, there's some defect or something, there's some rashes. Sometimes the tail is short. It's so hard to look a yearling goat that is unblemished. But by the grace of God, we found one. And then we said that it's on the 10th of that month, we purchased it. And then we just stayed there I don't know if we feed it. I cannot remember. And then on the 14th, on the sunset, we gather all the church. And then we try to follow, to slaughter. That's the first time I saw close encounter and how to slaughter an animal. I saw a chicken slaughtered, but a goat at a yearling, if only you can hear the sound and the cry of the goat, you might have the second thought, I will not kill it anymore. But it is the instructor that you need to kill it. Let the blood drip onto the bowl. And then we try to apply the door, the blood of the goat and the doorpost. And then we need to roast it up the whole night. And then we need to eat as much as we can eat. But we did not eat the entrails. Some others eat the liver, sometimes others, but others just eat the flesh. Then the realization is it is not so easy to follow that instruction. It's so easy that it is written in the Bible right now, but in the actual, it's not easy to do it. That is why the realization with us is God is so gracious and merciful that he already stopped that kind of sacrificial for us because Jesus himself did it, done it 2,000 years ago. He is the perfect Lamb of God. Now, what is the historical? We said that we have to look on the historical event and the prophetic messianic significance at the same time, what is the significance in our personal life of this feast that we are studying. First, is we can see it in reading in Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 42. Now, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of captive was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, and he, all his servant, and all the Egyptians, there were a great cry in Egypt, and there was not house where there was not one bed. Every firstborn in Egypt, not the Hebrews, had died when this angel of death came into the land of Egypt. So in verse 31, then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, go out from among the people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said. Be gone and bless me also. This is the 10th plague. This is the plague when Pharaoh finally let the people of Hebrew go out into Egypt and go to the wilderness that they can worship the Lord their God. It is in the past midnight that Pharaoh called Moses. And verse 33 of chapter 12, and the Egyptian urged the people that they might send them out of the land and in haste. For they said, we shall be dead. So the people looked at dough before it was leaven, having their kneading bows bound up in their house on their shoulders. And now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they have asked from the Egyptians article of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, beside children, and mixed multitude went up with them also the flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of those which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not living because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor they have prepared provision for themselves. This is the very reason why. This is what they are expecting. This is what God are preparing for them, that in 430 years they are preparing. They are eating with their belt. They are eating with their staff. They are eating with the sandal, because one, at this very moment, the same day, God will going to do miraculous thing in the life of Israel. Imagine, church, you know, when I'm reading this, my stomach, I don't know what happened, something, there's, imagine the 430 years in the bondage, slave, and then in this moment in time, God will going to free them and deliver them out in the land of Egypt, being slavery. And it came to pass the end of the 430 years on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for the Lord, for all the children of Israel throughout their generation. The historical significance of the Feast of the Passover is freedom from the slavery of Egypt. For 430 years, finally come. In how many generations, the people of Israel, during the Feast of the Passover, they are set free from the slavery of Egypt. This is the significant, historical significance of the Feast of the Passover. And the lamb is slain and the blood applied. It is the first time that they have made this, but this is the first time that they see how, it's not the first time, they see that God is faithful when He promises that when you do this, you will be spared from this death that is coming upon Egypt. Now, what is the messianic and prophetic fulfillment of this Feast of the Passover? Almost 5,000 years ago, at the exact moment of the Feast of the Passover, Jesus Christ is become the Passover Lamb of God, fulfilled in the very eye of the people of the nation of Israel, of the Hebrew, who is rehearsing year after year after year. And now the Lord Jesus are fulfilling what they are practicing year after year, being the Passover Lamb. John chapter 1 verse 29 and 36. This is the day when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke 22 verse 15 and 20, and Matthew 26, 17 to 7, when the Lord Jesus instituted the Last Supper, and he is saying that this is my body which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me. And this is what he says, that this cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. He is saying that I am going to be slaughtered, I'm going to be, you know, to be killed and over at exactly as the time of Passover. And he's saying that I am the Passover Lamb who take away all your sins. This is what, you know, been given to you by my Father, that you should now see that I am He, the perfect Lamb of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, "Therefore purge out old living, that you may be a new lamb, since you are truly unliving. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." And 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 said that the blood of Christ, that we are redeemed with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Remember, the first yearling unblemished lamb that he sacrificed is also declared by Peter that the blood of Jesus is unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9 verse 22, without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. And 1 John 1 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That is what the messianic meaning is, the prophetic messianic fulfillment, Jesus' death as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For its personal significance, it is so interesting that even the historical event that happened during the Feast of Passover pictures of the believers' salvation. In Egypt is a type of the world. Just as Egypt was under the control of Pharaoh, so this world lies in the power of Satan, the evil one. 1 John 5:19. The slavery of the Israelites in Egypt pictures the slavery to sin imprisons those in the world. John 8:34. Just as Pharaoh was not about to let go of his slaves, so Satan will do all he can hold unto those who haven't yet seen the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And it said, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of those unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of Christ, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. But there is hope. Amen. Just as God provided escape in the sea, whether the inhabitants escaped for the Israelites through the blood of the Passover lamb, so there is salvation today in the one who is the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You know, when the blood of the Passover of the lamb on those days, he did not enter to see if the people inside the house is worthy. No, it is not. It just came down whether they believe God on the instruction to kill the lamb, to eat and put the blood and the doorpost and followed by eating it as he commanded. It is by obedience that they have been spared to the death that is coming in the land of Egypt. It is the same today. The provision of salvation is there to be accepted by the grace through faith. It's written in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not by yourself. It is not the result of your works. It doesn't came down to the personal worthiness. Salvation, it doesn't came down in every man's worthiness or work. Only the Lamb is worthy, but we must follow God's way of salvation and not our own. It is the shadow of reality that is in Christ. That's what Apostle Paul said. Because way back 5,000 years ago, this would be the reality that the perfect Lamb of God that will going to be slain is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a pointer to the true Passover, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The hand of God delivered from slavery from the past. Today on the cross, he delivered us from the slavery of sin and death. Amen and amen. So as I call Karya, let us pray. Again, I am saying that I am not expert of this feast. I praise God and glorify God for giving us such truth for us to understand and learn what is in store of this beautiful feast. I say again that I am not the one who sow, that I am part of the one who reaps. So that we now who are hearing this truth can benefit and understand the wonderful, the amazing truth of that feast that He been already revealed His plan 7,000 years ago in our time today. Now it is for you and me and the people listening online to receive it and let the Holy Spirit speak His truth into a heart of hearts and receive and understand and obey Him. Let's worship Him. There's so much more in this feast. It cannot contain in 35 minutes. But I pray that the Holy Spirit continue to speak to us. And let's continue to meditate this wonderful truth revealed in this feast. Same thing, God, when the angel of death saw the blood on the doorposts of every each household, God spared them. Today, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have the blood of the Lamb, you know, put on your heart, eventually death is in your doorstep in your life. But we who are saved in Christ, we are saved not because of our worthiness. We are saved not because of our good works. We are not saved because of our good works. Because when the God, Father God, looked on us, He saw the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering us. And that's make us be saved because of the precious and unblemished blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness. So wonderful the truth of His word. If you ever hear this word and haven't fully grasped these wonderful things that Jesus done on the cross, ask the Holy Spirit to give you more understanding. This is His truth. This is His plan. And He fulfilled it. Let's go back to our community prayer today. Thank you, God. Let us lift up our communities who are battling cancer and those who are having chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Pray for the faith to arise and hope. Pray for the blood of Jesus. Cover them, their heart, their spirit, their soul, and body. And the miracle of God and the precious blood of Jesus will just work in their life. Let's pray. For those who are having illness and need a word of salvation, pray for God to use this what they are being experienced so that they may see that God is with them, God is their living hope, God can still heal today. And not only healing that God can bring, but eternal life, salvation, as they believe in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. So lift up those who are having infirmities. Pray and lift up that very word of God said that by His stripe, by His wound, you are healed. So clear that in these infirmities, praying for the full restoration and healing in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.
So also pray for those who are infected with COVID. Pray for Trish and his family. They are now in Australia. And also pray for the frontline medical workers for covering and protection. Pray for the grace and the love God continue pour out in their heart as they serve. Let's pray. So lift up those who are praying for jobs. Just pray for God's favor. Pray for faith to arise, patience. Pray for God's perfect timing for them. Give me open opportunity for them. Pray for peace and comfort that God will, you know, give them wisdom and while they are waiting. Yeah, let's pray. So also lift up our mission focus for the day. Pray for China, or SPBJ, or Pastor Hanshu, SPSH, Pastor Ricky Chongs, and the church in the mainland. So let us pray and lift up them up. Also lift up on a board of directors and pray for God's wisdom. Pray God, that the word of God, the voice of God continue to be heard. Pray for the unity. Pray for the love of God and the love of His church continue reign in their heart. Let's pray. Also pray for the fellowship, the men's ministries, the Monday lunchtime prayer, Pure Desire Women's Ministry, Tuesday lunchtime prayer, Betrayal and Beyond, and support group. Let's pray for this ministry platform that God are using for equipping of the saints and for righteousness for the glory of Christ. Let's pray. So also pray for our SP 2.0, building and resources, benefactor and vision plan. Let's pray. Also pray for the pregnant woman in our community. Pray for Fiona, Leslie, Leon, China, and others. Pray for recovery and protection, both the mom and the babies. Pray for the good health. Pray for preparing body, soul, spirit, and emotions for the mom. Pray for the smooth and quick delivery at the time, and the joy of both the mother and the father. Let's pray. Also lift up the house church to be meeting tonight, the Blue Pool, Chaidi, Fortress, Jaya, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Westville. Let's lift up for God-centered and Christ-centered, the fellowship, the joy, harmony, and the peace, and covering and protection. And yeah, let's lift up. It is God's glorifying fellowship. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. We honor you and we glorify you. Thank you, God, for hearing the prayer of your church. I said, Lord God, whatever you agrees on earth, or trees agrees on earth, O Lord God, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. We receive by faith, Lord God, the answer of the prayers we lifting up, Lord God, by faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the moving of the power of the Holy Spirit, even right now, wherever they are. And we thank you, Lord God, for the working power of your miracle. You are a miracle worker, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Maybe, Lord God, as we continue to ponder and meditate, thank you for the revelation of the truth of the word of God by the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you. We glorify you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless, church. Enjoy your prayer time. See you again tomorrow.